Lord, we love you. We thank you for this awesome day. Lord, we lift the Fulfer family up to you as they were out in the mission field in the Philippines, Father.
Good morning. Thank y'all for allowing us to come and give an update of the work in the Philippines. We're excited to be with y'all this morning. And my family, we're very excited, especially coming back to America after 2 years. They were excited also to see Walmart again. But the Lord's been good to us, and we'll be able to visit churches. But sometimes we kind of miss home. Philippines is kind of like our home because we're used to their food there. But we like y'all's food here too. But my wife really misses all the fish that she's used to and the rice. But I like the steak here though. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to invite you in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 19 to verse 21. Philippians, chapter 1, verses 19 down to verse 21. If you're able to stand, I'd like to invite you for the reading of God's Word. Philippians, chapter 1, verses 19 down to verse 21. God's Word says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for this morning that you've given us to come to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross 2,000 years ago, giving us hope, Lord, where we have no hope. But thank you, Lord, for the salvation we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that this home is not our final home, that this world is just a passing through. We know we have a better place in heaven where there is no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. But Lord, remind us in our short life that we're living. Help us, Lord, to remind that we should live for Christ, for eternity, for the gospel, and that people will continue to see Christ through our lives as we continue on sharing the good news, the gospel. Because we know, Father, Lord, that's the only hope for this world. We know, Lord, this world is perishing, and they need Christ. And help us, Father, Lord, to be more bold and continue on preaching, proclaiming the good news. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I titled the message this morning is Living for Christ, Living for Christ. As I live in the Philippines or come to the States, I see a lot of people really like sports in the Philippines. It's basketball. I grew up playing basketball everywhere. And you ask teenagers there, what is life? And they would say, life is basketball. Most of them wants to be famous, wants to be rich. And we have what is called PBA in the Philippines. It's called a Philippine Professional Basketball. It's like the NBA of America, but in the Philippines, it's a Philippine Basketball Association over there. And most of them wants to make it to the PBA. And that was my dream at one time. And just living for the things of the world, we want the applause of man. We want fame. We want power. And here we see a man named Paul. Before he got saved, his name was Saul. And he wanted power. He wanted fame. He studied under Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers. He studied the Jewish law and history. And it seemed like at the top of his life, where he had everything that he wanted as a boy, as he dreamed about being in power and having everything. But when he was up there, he realized there was nothing there apart from Christ. He was still miserable and poor and blind. But we see many people are just living for the temporal things of life. And sometimes they call it the American dream. I hear American dream. But apart from Christ, there is no true dream. There's no true peace and happiness. And that's why we see kids committing suicide like never before. Depression, anxiety. Because Jesus said, I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. I come to give peace that passes all understanding. Here we see a man named Paul who gave his life to Christ. But let's also look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 5. Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 and 5. He says, "This now also that in the last days perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, trust breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hating high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This was written a long time ago, but I believe now we could truly say this is actually happening, where kids are growing up rebelling against their parents and just leaving church and abandoning and just living for the world. And here we see that Paul is telling that this will come, and we see it. But here as Christians, we need to realize as much as the world is getting worse and worse, we should be more getting closer to Christ as we see the day approaching, that we should continue serving Christ, to be more like him, to live a life that is holy in righteousness. So when the world looks at us, they see us not following the system of this world. That's why the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't follow the system of this world and say we're following Christ. We have to follow Christ, that they will truly see that we're followers of Christ. And this is what Paul began to do. He began to follow Christ. And a little bit about his background, we can also see in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 and 8. Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For I must suffer the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He was willing to lose everything. He said, everything I had is really nothing, but in Christ I have everything. You see, the world wants to offer us all the things of this life, think that we'll have. If we don't have this, we won't be happy. We have to have all these things. But really, apart from Christ, it's all dung. It is all vanity. It's all useless. And here we see Apostle Paul, when he found Christ, he began to realize what life is all about, is to live for Jesus Christ. He understand what joy means, because the fullness of joy is in Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said to that woman at the well, whoever drinks of the waters of this world shall thirst again. All the things this world can offer, it will just make you addicted to it, but it will never satisfy. But Jesus said, drink from my waters, and you'll not thirst again. Here we see Paul truly got saved. And I truly believe if a person truly gets saved, he is going to live for Christ. Amen. You cannot live for Christ apart from Christ. It will just be a legalist system, rules, standards. But if you're in Christ, you'll begin to enjoy worship. I remember as a kid, we had to come to church. My dad was a Baptist preacher. We'd get whippings if we didn't come to church. It was Sunday, we had to go. But when I got saved, I don't have to get a whipping no more. I go because I love Christ. I want to serve him. I want to worship him. And that's the difference of living in a life just rules and standard, but never experiencing true salvation. A person, when he truly becomes saved, he will live for Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We see Paul was transported from legal bondage into Christian freedom. He began to realize there's so much freedom in Christ. But if you're not in Christ, it's all rules. It's like, oh, I don't want to be Christians. You got to stop this. You got to stop this. And that's why people look at it. Oh, there's no joy in Christ. But really, your desires just change when you're Christ. The things you want to do, you don't want to do them no more, because God has changed your heart. And that only God can do. And Paul experienced that on the road to Damascus when he was persecuting Christians. And now he became a Christian himself. And now he's becoming persecuted himself. But Paul truly had freedom to serve Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In the Philippines, we have what is called Holy Week. And most of the people there, 80% Catholic, they'll be out on the streets whipping themselves with whips. Their backs will be bleeding. And it's a big thing every year in the Philippines. Thousands of people come to this event. And most of them are being nailed to the cross, literally nailed to the cross. And they think by doing this, what Jesus had done, they think they can pay for their own sins. They can whip themselves. They feel so wretched and sinful, and they think by whipping themselves that God will feel sorry for them and they can go to heaven. But we have to understand, when he said it was finished on the cross 2,000 years, he really meant it was finished. But people has been living a life thinking it's always works-based to save them. They have to save their own selves. They have to do something in order to get saved. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, not of yourself, lest any man should boast, but it's a gift of God. And we have to understand that the gospel is powerful. It saves, and all we need to do is proclaim it. But the gospel has been watered down, and now it's just a decision thing that people say, oh, you want to get saved, just believe, just do this, just raise your hand in church. And how superstitious have people become, thinking it's just something so quick that it's so simple to be done. No, it takes the power of the gospel to save a soul. And that's why the Bible says we must proclaim it. We must preach it. We can't have these tricks that making people think, oh, they're just saved because they walk down the aisle. It's like saying to a teenager, you want to get saved, just do a backflip. Or you can't do that. You have to proclaim the gospel. That's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I truly believe a lot of kids are not hearing the gospel. They're hearing a decision-making thing. It's like it's up to them that they can just do it so easily. No. The gospel, we have to share the gospel. We have to proclaim and let the gospel do its work that we cannot do. The Holy Spirit that convicts the heart. Because the heart of man does not want Christ. He does not want Christ. He's rebelling against Christ. Most kids and teenagers, they don't want Christ. But the gospel has the power to convict their hearts. And as we pray for them, as we share to them the gospel, we will see how powerful the gospel really is. But if we don't believe in the gospel no more, we think we can change their life. We think we can manipulate them into accepting Christ. And just watering down the gospel, it will never work. But when the gospel really hits them, when they truly get saved, they will begin to live for Christ. And it's nice to see teenagers again live for Christ. It's nice to see kids having a purpose in life, not just waiting for the weekends, for Friday to party and just to be with their friends and be with the world, but to truly see our children living for Christ. And that is the greatest gift we can give our children. It is Christ, not Disneyland, Disney World, and all the toys and all the gadgets. It is the gift of Christ. Because the Bible says, what shall it profit a man or boy and girl if he gains the whole world but lose his own soul? What is heaven without your children? We have to understand the gospel has the power. And Paul understood that everything was about the gospel. And he began to dedicate his life for the gospel. Not only if you're going to live for Christ, you must be found in him. But secondly, if you're going to live for Christ, you must be sharing the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel of Christ, by the way, not our gospel. It is the gospel of Christ. Here we see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, only let your conversation, meaning manner of life, be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast, one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what our partnership is all about. It's for the gospel of Christ. Amen. That is why we are praying and helping one another. Why? Because we want this world to see Christ. But if they only see religion on Sunday, if they never see Christ and how we talk, how we walk, our children, how we talk to their mom, how we just live our lives, are they seeing Christ in us day to day? Because the gospel is not only to be preached, but it also should be lived out, like Paul said. Your manner of life should be about the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The world needs the good news that there is Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul also said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's amazing what the gospel can do. When you see a prostitute become a lady, a drunk, or become a godly man, the gospel has the power to change lives. But we're trying to change people's lives. We think politics has the answer. We think the White House has the answer. Sometimes we put our hope in a man, but we need to put our hope in God, in the gospel. Only Jesus can change this world. And we can change the world by one soul at a time as we continue sharing the good news to this world. And that is what Paul, because Paul was in politics all his life, and he realized it's not coming through politics that will change this world. It will come through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he dedicated his life to Christ. Thirdly, if we're ever going to live for Christ, you must be willing to suffer for Christ. We like comfort, amen. We like the best life now. But you know, Jesus said, whoever will come after me, deny himself. And 2 Timothy 3:12 says, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not you might suffer. The Bible says the more you draw closer to Christ, suffering will come. Persecution will come. And that's why living a Christian life is not for the weak, but for the strong. Because why? You will be persecuted, the Bible says. You make your stand. And that's why every time you want to protect children, there is persecution. As you yell lives of kids while the world wants to abort children, 25 million kids being aborted. You know, sometimes I look at, especially here in America, I notice to how much people loves their animals. It's amazing. If we would love children just like we would love animals, I believe there's be a change in our society. But the world wants children to be killed. The Philippines has 1 million street kids abandoned, being sold in sex trafficking, broken homes, dads leaving their family, children are hurting inside like never before. That's the world we live in. Do not care about children no more. But the Bible tells us as Christians, we should care for the children, for the hurting. And that's why James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And I believe this word visit is not just to say, you know, children, Jesus loves you. Here's the candy and go on your way. I believe this word visit is to relieve them from their affliction. People are hurting. They're scarred for life. When a home falls apart, these kids are hurting like never before. And they need to be ministered to. In the Philippines, we go around and tell these kids, Jesus loves you. And you know what they tell us? They look at us and they said, really? Does Jesus really love me? Why did my father abandon me? Why am I on the streets hungry? Why am I digging in garbage cans if Jesus really loves me? But when you do give them a home, when you do clothe them, you provide for them, and then you share the gospel to them, they begin to understand the love of Christ. Sometimes we want to tell children Jesus loves them, but Jesus is telling us, demonstrate to them the love of Christ. Minister to them. It's amazing you can go to jail for killing a deer on not deer season. Or catching a fish that's not the right size. But now killing children seems to be common in people's mind and heart. And the Bible says we should not offend the children. It's better for us to have a millstone around our neck and to be cast in the sea and to be thrown. But now the world is not only offending them, but they're murdering them. And we must be willing to suffer for Christ. And you make your stand defending children, you'll see the world will hate you. I said, it's so hard. We started an orphanage home. It's the hardest thing we ever had to do because nobody wants to help an orphanage home. especially in the Philippines. He said, oh, Brother Alvin, that's too much work. You got to feed them. You got to clothe them. You got to find a teacher for them, house parents for them. Won't we just give out tracts, evangelize and plant churches? But I think dealing with children is too much. And I told my wife, probably if we're going to build a dog's home, people will fund it, rescuing the dogs of the Philippines. But when it comes to children, I always hear, oh, we can't help. The economy is bad. You know, a lot of things are happening, brother. But we can spend millions of dollars on entertainment and sports like football. Things that won't mean nothing one day. But the things we do for Christ is eternal. Every time we invest in Christ, the Bible says, it is for all eternity. In Paul, he invested in Christ. He gave his life for serving others, for loving others. Paul experienced a lot of suffering. When I look at suffering, beside Jesus Christ who suffered on the cross for us, it seemed like this man also suffered a lot for Christ. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten and put in prison for sharing the gospel. You know, there's a great push to hush us about the gospel. Nobody wants to hear the gospel no more. I'm amazed in the Philippines, 80% Catholic. We got Muslims, but we can go into the prison and share the gospel. We can go into the public schools in the Philippines and openly share the gospel. But I come to America where the gospel had went all around the world. Missionaries, if it wasn't for American missionaries to went to the Philippines, the gospel has not been opened there. But now I come back to America. It seems like it's more harder to share the gospel in America than in the Philippines. I'd be sharing the gospel. I'll be at a Waffle House one morning just talking about Jesus, and they'll tell me, this is not the place to talk about religion. You need to hush up. This is not a place to talk about Jesus. And you're thinking America was founded. That's why we have in our dollar bill, in God we trust. And now it seems like it's offensive just to talk about the name of Jesus, how people hate Jesus. And the Bible is very clear that it will come a time when they will hate. They will hate you, not because they just hate you, because they hate the Jesus you are following. But we must not be ashamed of the gospel. And I told him, I said, we can talk about anything. Why you don't want to talk about Jesus? I said, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He created this world for you. He's the one that's very giving you oxygen. Your heart is pumping. Why? Because of him right now. And I can't understand why so much hatred to a God that loves. And I realize why. Because the system of this world is demonic. They've been blinded by Satan. But we should not be scared of them. We should not fear them. The Bible says, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, Muslims are so bold in the Philippines. They're ready to blow up buildings. They're ready to die for Allah. And you always see them radical. They're always extremists over there in the Philippines. And everybody seems to be scared of them. But we should be radical for Christ. We should never be ashamed of Christ, because the truth shall set them free. These people are so radical, but they're living a lie. We know that they're blowing up buildings and they're not going to heaven. They're dying and perishing for hell for all eternity. But we know the truth. We should have the voice out there. We should not be living in fear. The world is trying to oppress us and put us in fear. No, we should proclaim the gospel wherever we are, not only inside the church building, but out in the world where we go. We should proclaim the gospel. And here we see there is going to be suffering when we do that. People will ridicule you. People will mock you. But that's part of Christianity. And here we see in Paul, even in prison, after being beaten, he says in Acts 16:25, he says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoners begin to realize there's something in them that they don't have. Why are these people so happy and joyful and they have peace? And why are we, even the guards that were protecting them, they know they had a paycheck, they're going to go to their families, and they're not in prison. But why is Paul is more happier than them? Because he had Christ. And I tell people in the Philippines, one of our favorite ministry is the prison ministry, because they can't walk out on you. They're inside the prison. So we can just keep on preaching the gospel to them. And I notice inside the prison that there is more people that are more joyful and happy inside a prison that knows Christ than those that are out in the world that are free but are in prison in sin, captured by the system of this world. And I told them, you know, you have a better life than people outside because you have Christ. And Paul said, wherever you are, in prison or outside of prison, if you have Christ, you're free. The true prison is people that are enslaved to sin, that they can't get out, but they can get out by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will set you free. And the Bible says you will be free indeed. Amen. Doesn't mean you're going to stop sinning. No, we're all living in the flesh, but you're not enslaved to no more in sin because Christ lives in you and the Holy Spirit is in you. And that's why when you do sin, you get convicted. Amen. Because Christ is living in you. But people apart from Christ, they're just living in sin. Like they're just drinking it like it's just water. There's no conviction. They're just enjoying it, indulging in it. Why? Because they have no Christ in them. And that is why we have to realize that Christ is in us and we must proclaim it to the world. And not only when we talk about suffering, I'm about to finish. I just want to say children are suffering. Like I say, like never before. They're hurting inside. They're hurting. They're truly hurting. Kids are hurting. Especially now with the gadgets. You know what's babysitting children now is cell phone. I saw this one thing on where the mom took the cell phone from her child. He said, you've been on the cell phone too much. Give me that. And this child of hers just began to hit her. Give me back my cell phone. Cursing her mom. Behold their God. You take away their God. That is what they want. That is their heart's desire. It should be their heart's desire. It's the word of God. That they have a desire to dig in God's word, to study, to pray. You know, children are living in a fantasy world now. They don't know not what reality from fantasy is. You tell them to clean the room, they don't know what it is to clean the room. Do the laundry, do the dishes. Why? Because they're living in La La Land, a world that does not exist. But you know, Jesus will teach them to live a life that is real because God is real. But if they do not experience the real God, they will live in a world that is fantasy, that is a lie, and that is not real. And we have to teach our children what is real, what is true, what is real life. In Matthew 19:14 says, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, the ministry is not only for the lost world out there. The ministry is also for our children around us. I was in a Baptist church a couple years ago, and a kid committed suicide, and it was a vacation Bible school. And I saw that kid in the church. He was always being brought to the church, but how would he commit suicide, feeling all alone, empty inside, but growing up inside a church, but never being ministered to? He saw religion, but not a relationship. Make sure as parents that children won't see a religion in our life, but they will see a relationship, our life with Jesus Christ. And some people always blame the government. Oh, because it was the government's fault. That's why our children's growing up like this. I always hear they took out prayers in the schools, in the Bibles, in public schools. But I truly believe Bible was taken out first, even among Christian homes. It was replaced with Hollywood movies and all the filth. And the Bible is not being opened in a day-to-day basis in some homes. Sometimes it's only on a Sunday. I heard some people say, oh, it's only a Sunday, dust off the dust and open it because it's Sunday time. No, it should be every day. Our children should see us opening God's word, devouring it, having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And if they see that, they will capture that our God is real. And that's why Bible says in Matthew 18:6 says, but whoso offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And Matthew 25:38-40 says, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick or in prison and come unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least, my brethren, you have done it unto me. I tell my wife all the time, helping children is so hard. And this became a relaxed time when we came to the States, because every day we're doing so much in the Philippines, feeding 500s of kids constantly all the time, going to these places. You know, when you start having a feeding ministry, kids start coming out everywhere. They find out there's free food. But, you know, we got to go beyond just feeding them and clothing them. They have to come to Christ, the gospel. Because we can feed them and clothe them, and they can still perish in hell for all eternity. You know, here in America, we can clothe our kids. We can feed them. We can give them the best life that they can ever dream of. We can give them so many toys and spoil them. But if they never come to Christ, what a loss. What a loss. Let us think about our children. They're hurting. They need Christ. We think we're giving them everything, but Jesus can give them more. Jesus can give them abundant life, direction, peace that passes all understanding. You know, the greatest gift that my dad ever gave me, it is Christ. And one day my dad will perish, but I know I'll see him again in heaven for all eternity. And that is the best life, to know your children and grandchildren is with you for all eternity. What heaven would be like with your children. Please, minister, take time. I know we're living in a busy world, but the Bible says redeeming the time because their days are evil. Satan is after our children, after our church, after our family. He wants it ruined. But the gospel is still powerful. It still works. Prayer is still powerful. We have the spiritual weapons that we need. Intercessor prayer, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Let us trust in it. Let's pray. Lord, we pray, Father, Lord. Remind us again, Lord. We're so caught up, Father, Lord, so easy to be caught up on temporal things. We live in a world that's pulling us strongly, Father, Lord, to stay focused upon the things of the world, but help our mind, our heart, not to be captured of the things of this world. We know, Lord, Satan is trying to sidetrack us, Lord. Help us as a family of God, as your children, to live more for Christ in the gospel, because we know, Lord, one day our life will soon be over, but only what's done for you will last. And Lord, I pray, Lord, even children here in America, I know there's a lot of children that are hurting, that needs to be ministered. And help us, Father, Lord, to take time to minister to children, to pray for them, to bond with them, to fellowship with them. And Lord, sometimes we are so easy to be irritated, and we think that our time with kids is taking away our time from other things we want to do. But Lord, really, it is meaningful. It is lasting, Lord. And help us, Lord, to love children in a world that hates them. But Lord, I pray as Christians that we will learn to love them, because you called us to love them. You called us to practice pure religion. And Lord, I pray, help us, Father, Lord, that we'll be able to build this school in the Philippines, Lord, that we can use it for an avenue, not only to give education, to teach children, but Lord, to use this as a means of sharing the gospel. We know, Father, Lord, Muslims and Catholics are taking over the school system in the Philippines. And Lord, it'd be nice to have a Bible-based Christian school where we can be a light for you in the Philippines, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, watch us, protect us while we're here in the States. Help us also, Lord, to minister while we're traveling in different churches. Father, Lord, I pray that you'll just watch my family as we're always constantly on the road and staying in different houses and places. Lord, I pray that you'll just use us for your glory and honor and praise. Forgive us of our sins where we failed you, Lord. We bring back all the glory and honor and praise to your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.